From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. Climate experts have been saying for years that we need to move away from the use of fossil fuels. And actually, the most recent report from a United Nations panel that focuses on climate change says the world not only needs to stop building new fossil fuel infrastructure immediately, but it needs to actively decommission a lot of existing oil, gas, and coal facilities. Despite those pleadings, a new 55-megawatt natural gas and diesel-fired power plant is about to be built in Peabody. WBUR environmental reporter Miriam Wasser joins us now to explain. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, Lynn.
So first, this new natural gas and diesel-fired plant they're planning is known as a peaker plant. What is that?
So a peaker plant is an on-call power plant. They are designed to turn on quickly and add electricity to the grid during times of peak energy demand. And here in New England, that happens on really hot or really cold days.
Okay, got it. So they don't run all the time. But how much is this plant in Peabody expected to run, and how much might it impact the environment?
So these estimates are a little difficult to predict, especially when you start projecting out many years into the future. But the plant's backers estimate that it will run about 239 hours a year. At that rate, it would release about 7,000 tons of carbon a year. And for some context, that's about the equivalent of adding 1,300 cars to the road in Massachusetts.
So only running about 10 days or the equivalent of 10 days out of the year doesn't seem like a lot, but 7,000 tons of carbon in that time does kind of seem like a lot.
Yeah, and also, you know, peaker plants tend to be relatively dirty. This one will emit less than the vast majority of other peakers in New England. But, you know, we just have to remember that burning fossil fuels, in addition to releasing carbon and methane, it releases a lot of small particulate matter and other harmful pollutants that can cause asthma and other health problems. And that's a really big concern because this peaker plant is going to be located in a state-designated environmental justice community.
And environmental justice communities are places with high numbers of lower-income or minority residents that traditionally bear a disproportionate share of pollution or other environmental burdens. I want to talk more about that, but first, who is building this plant?
The group behind it is called MWEC, which stands for the Massachusetts Municipal Wholesale Electric Company. And this organization represents municipal utilities, which provide power for communities that don't get their power from bigger investor-owned utilities like Eversource and National Grid. So in the case of this project, MWEC is representing about a dozen cities and towns that will pay for the plant and use its on-call power when it gets turned on.
And let's get back to it being built in an environmental justice community. Tell us more about that.
The plant is slated to be built on a small plot of land in Peabody that is actually right next to two existing natural gas peaker plants. And the immediate area around there is fairly industrial, but as you mentioned, right, it's in an EJ community in Peabody, and it's also really close to other EJ communities in Danvers and Salem. I want to play you a quick clip from a public meeting last summer. Dr. Adrienne Allen is a physician on the North Shore, and she had this to say about the plans.
In no uncertain terms, the burning of any fossil fuels kills patients. It kills patients and it shortens their lives.
So there are some pretty serious, heavy concerns around all this. But the plant's backers obviously have their reasons. They say this is needed. What are those reasons?
Yeah, so I couldn't get anyone from that utilities group to talk to me for this story, but in documents and at that public meeting last summer, the CEO of the group gave four big reasons. First, he said building the plant would result in cheaper power for customers than if MWEC bought the on-call energy they needed from the free market. The second reason had to do with convenience. Since there are already two plants on the Peabody site, this new one can take advantage of existing infrastructure like gas pipelines. Third, he said a peaker plant in Peabody could help prevent brownouts, which could become a concern in the future as the climate continues to warm. And the reason for this is that Northeast Massachusetts doesn't have a lot of transmission lines coming in. So if energy demand spikes on one of those really hot or really cold days, it could be helpful to have a source of power nearby. And then finally, supporters say the plant might actually create a net benefit to the environment. And here's MWIC CEO Ron DiCurzio at that public meeting.
Being that this is going to be the latest and greatest technology, it will be, in all likelihood, displacing resources that emit higher carbon in the air.
So I do want to note that the grid operator chooses which peaker plants to turn on first based on price, not carbon emissions.
Interesting. So even though they're saying this one has the latest, greatest technology, it's cleaner, it doesn't mean that's necessarily the one they will choose in any given moment. They might go with one of the other peaker plants that's less clean?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about the project's opponents for a minute. Who are they and what are they saying about all this?
So a lot of people oppose this project, a lot of North Shore residents, environmental groups, politicians, and they have several concerns. Public health, environmental justice, a lack of public involvement and transparency during the planning process, and of course, climate change. Here's what Susan Smoller, who is a Peabody resident and founder of the activist group Breathe Clean North Shore, told me about that.
To me, the bottom line is it's crazy. It's insane to be investing in fossil fuel, brand new fossil fuel in 2022.
Smoller also told me that one reason we're seeing a lot of opposition 6 or 7 years after the plant was first proposed is that people say they didn't really know about the project until recently. The utilities organization, you know, it did what it was legally supposed to do to notify the state, and it placed an ad in a local paper about the project in 2016, but a lot of people say that wasn't enough. And the proposed plant is technically called Project 2015A, so even when the group had it on their meeting agendas, you know, people didn't know that they were talking about building a natural gas plant.
So is it too late for the opponents? What are they going to do now?
Yeah, environmentalists have pushed the utility group to seek alternatives, namely batteries or buying power on the open market. And they point to studies that show that either of these options would save money, but the utilities group maintains that they won't. So in recent months, the opponents have kind of shifted strategy, and they're now really pushing Governor Charlie Baker and his administration to order a health impact study and to do a full environmental review of the project. And the environmental review was never done because state law says projects under 100 megawatts don't necessarily need one. And so that's what happened here.
And what all this adds up to is that the project is moving forward, for now at least, right?
Yep. It is fully permitted and construction is slated to begin soon. And the plant is scheduled to be up and running by next summer. That is, of course, unless state officials step in to delay it for further review.
Miriam, thanks so much for bringing this to light and telling us about this project that I think a lot of people hadn't heard about before.
Happy to do it, and thanks for having me, Lynn.
That's WBUR environmental reporter Miriam Wasser. Before we go, here's what else is happening. Governor Charlie Baker says he wants to change the fundamental way healthcare is paid for in Massachusetts. He told a Beacon Hill committee yesterday a bill his administration filed last month would increase drug manufacturers' accountability and impose penalties for excessive drug pricing. The measure also requires providers and insurers to boost spending on primary and behavioral health care. Baker says the current system is not designed for modern medicine.
Our healthcare system would be moving in a direction to support and engage these folks differently to achieve this target. Insurers will be incented to increase their rates of reimbursement for behavioral health care and expand their networks.
Drug manufacturers call Baker's plan dangerous, saying it would threaten access to medication. In other news, abortion rights advocates are launching a website they say will help distinguish between clinics in New England that offer abortions and those that oppose them. The Reproductive Equity Now website shows clinics by zip code that offer medication or surgical abortions. It also pulls up crisis pregnancy centers that often counsel against abortions. Wren director Rebecca Hart Holder says these facilities outnumber abortion clinics 3-1 in Massachusetts, which she calls surprising.
Especially when we kind of think of crisis pregnancy centers as being concentrated in regions of the country that are more hostile to abortion care, but in fact, that's not true.
Some pregnancy help centers say the 3-1 count is inflated. They say the website's characterization of them as fake women's health care is inaccurate as well. Meanwhile, Massachusetts lawmakers are considering a proposal that would require employers to provide paid time off for miscarriages. State Representative Jamie Belsito of Topsfield says the law would also cover other life events resulting in the loss of a child.
This could be for any individual who has a failed adoption, a failed surrogacy, any medical diagnosis that impacts pregnancy or fertility, as well as unsuccessful assisted reproductive technology procedures.
Belsito says she lost a pregnancy at 12 weeks, and she says employers need to recognize how the experience affects mothers and can emotionally impact family members. That's it for today. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker. We'll have more local news and conversation tomorrow on Consider This. Until then, I hope you can find a little sunshine. By the way, every day you hear us tackle news in Boston on Consider This. Well, another one of WBUR's programs uses a wider lens. On Point, hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty, sets out to make sense of the world together, from the economy and healthcare to politics and the environment and much more. On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about the issues that matter most. Get the On Point podcast wherever you listen. Just search On Point and hit subscribe.